Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
I am thrilled because today with me I have Marjorie Miles. Marjorie, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Vicki. It's so good to be here with you.
Well, I'm thrilled that you were able to join us. I think it would be great for us to start out, for people that don't know you, to share a little bit about what you're doing in our world and what you've been doing for contribution, just so we get a little idea of your background.
Well, it all changed, but before that, a big change that came in my life, I had started out my career as a marriage and family therapist, and I found that working in crisis intervention really wasn't for me after 3.5 years. I just burned out, and I really decided and was very much excited about taking those skills and teaching people how to use an educational format to teach people how to live better lives and have the tools rather than be in crisis. So I was an educator. I was a psychology professor for many years, and during that time I was very excited about the unconscious mind and how that works for us. And I received a doctorate degree in clinical hypnotherapy. And as I began studying and teaching more about the unconscious, I was attracted to dream work. And all of my students were very, very excited about that. And it was so surprising because I was teaching in a technological based university. So it was really amazing what was happening to people in their dreams. So that was my background, and then I had decided that I wanted to do more of that, and I left the profession. And then as I was working with developing my skills in coaching and exploring dreams with people, I was struck with cancer. And then everything changed, and in that instant is what I called my best worst experience.
Well, Marjorie, so this is like something that we all perceive as being just a radical change. You don't have time to kind of ease into it. It's just all of a sudden there. It hits you in your face. And what are some of the challenges that you face?
Yes, I would be happy to share it. Well, first of all, I just want to share that I was first touched by cancer by the death of a beloved aunt. And then over the years, it seemed like so many of my friends had been diagnosed. And so I was kind of going through that experience of what that was like as a family member or as a friend. And even my brother most recently was diagnosed with cancer and is a cancer survivor. But I guess you never expect, even when you're surrounded with all of this disease, that it's going to be you. And so it all began for me on a very ordinary day. I was walking down the stairs, and I attempted to read my mail while I was walking down the stairs. Not a good decision, but it actually saved my life because as a result, I missed some stairs, and I fell really hard on my side. and I needed an x-ray. And if I hadn't had that x-ray, the mass that had been growing on my lung would never have been revealed. So I sort of called that my angel portion. And in that instant, my life changed forever. And when a person hears the word, it's cancer, your life does change forever, and so does the life of those around you. Because cancer just doesn't happen to the patient or the person. It happens to a family. It happens to friends. It happens to spouses and partners. And the ripple effect is tremendous. And what I learned was that when the body breaks down, so does your life as you knew it. A cancer diagnosis often creates an identity crisis. I was no longer Marjorie Miles, this healthy, robust person that walked into the doctor's office to get some results from a test, but I left as a patient, and I was a cancer patient. And I had surgery. That was followed by chemotherapy and radiation. And so what goes on, there's so much that goes on for the person, because what I realized, too, that medicine may fix the body, but it doesn't help you put your life back together while you're going through this and after the crisis has passed. Because I started to ask myself, well, even if I'm, quote, cured, how do I become whole again? How do I begin to recognize who I am now? And surprisingly, an answer came to me toward the end of my radiation treatment. I was waiting in the doctor's office for him to arrive, and I was just feeling rather restless that day, kind of more antsy than usual. And since I do specialize in dream work, I said to myself, well, this would be a good time to take a few relaxing breaths and just allow my mind to wander and bump into a daydream. Well, no sooner had I done a few breaths than in that state of, you know, between waking and sleeping, I heard a voice. And this voice was very powerful, and it said, you need to write a poem. You can imagine, Vicki, that was pretty shocking, because I mentally argued with the voice, and I said, what could possibly be poetic about cancer? Now, you know, this was like obviously a whole mistaken notion. But this voice just ignored my protest, and it just continued, and it said, and it needs to be a haiku. Well, what the heck is a haiku? You know, all this stuff is going on in my head. And then I thought back to a time in high school when I was given the structure. I was being taught, the structure of a haiku. And for some reason, it just came right back to me. And a haiku is a simple three-line poem consisting of only 17 syllables. And the first line is 5 syllables, the second line, 7 syllables, and the third line, 5 syllables. So at the same time I was telling myself, you know, grumbling, saying, I'm not a poet, what the heck is this all about? I found myself picking up a pen, and I started writing a haiku on a scrap of paper that I had been holding to get instructions from the doctor. Well, when the radiologist finally did arrive, I just said, I have to tell you, I've written a poem about radiation. And I said, and I want to read it to you. And I'm sure, like, he was just absolutely thrilled. You know, he's busy, and he wants to hear this poem. But I'd like to share the haiku with you, too, now, Vicki, if that's okay.
Sure.
The poem is Radiation Zap. Search and find the mutant cells. Glowing, going, gone. Well,
wow.
I know. While I was reciting the poem, I found myself acting it out, like with hand motions. And then when I read the word gone, I clapped my hands, like, gone, boom. And then when my hands fell open, I could mentally visualize the cancer evaporating and disappearing. Well, I'm getting goosebumps as I'm talking to you about this. And the doctor and I just looked at each other. I mean, we just like, there was like this stunned silence, but we both recognized that something really powerful and unexplainable had just happened in that room between us. And, you know, after a few moments, the doctor, you know, he spoke and he said, and this really surprised me, he said, could you make a copy of that poem because I want to share it with my patients? Well, I felt so honored and so touched that this possibly could touch somebody else going through this experience. And then when I came home and I told my husband what had happened, my husband made a suggestion. My husband's name is Ben. And he said, why don't you challenge yourself to write a haiku every day to explore your experience with cancer? And that suggestion really... it changed my life. That night, I started a haiku journal, and I have never missed a day. And today, of course, I'm happy to report that I'm cancer-free and that my haikus now include every aspect of my life, not just anything that has to do with the experience of cancer.
Oh, that is so unbelievably moving and so powerful. Really, Marjorie, just amazing. And I guess it probably says something about how the state of mind really impacts our health. You know, I had experience with cancer with my parents. They both died of cancer, but I had a near-death experience with a blood clot to my lungs. And I know I came out of that, and it took me almost a year and a half before I started trusting my body again, because I've always been really robust, healthy, filled with energy, no problems. And I started feeling like I couldn't trust my body. Like it was almost like my body, I was separate from it and it was my enemy. And it's very interesting because there are a number of different ways we can approach getting over that. I think a lot of people feel that when they have something that really seriously goes wrong with them. But I love what you did. And I love the fact that you're going to be in our upcoming book and our international best-selling series, Cancer from Tears to Triumph. Thank you so much for being willing to contribute this great information to that book.
Oh, thank you so much. I really felt that something came through me that day, and it was meant to be shared, and it changed my life so much. And if it can impact or help anybody else, I am just so thrilled and honored to be a part of your project.
Well, tell me a little bit about what transpired from that moment and what came out of this from the standpoint of your learning experience and any way that maybe something that we might look at as not a positive experience might have actually enhanced your life.
Yes, I mean, I learned so much, Vicki, from this experience, and I continue to learn from this experience. I think probably one of the biggest lessons I learned was that in the process of weaving together the story of what was happening in my life, I was also weaving myself back into wholeness. You know, like you said, you couldn't trust your body anymore. Like, I felt betrayed, and yet something else was happening, and it was beyond also my physical body, that even when the body was so vulnerable and physically hurting, that there was still something very transcendent that continued and was getting stronger in this process. And so writing something down on paper made this experience and the feelings real, but more importantly, it allowed my feelings and emotions to become manageable. Instead of all, I had a container now. And this amazing three lines of poetry became this really sacred container for pausing, reflecting, processing, all of these really fast-paced events that had been set in motion by this diagnosis and treatment and recovery and healing. And I learned that when life hurts, that writing really helps, and that even the most timid and inexperienced writer, myself, could find their voice through something like a three-line poem, a haiku. And I learned that I wasn't just using words to make a poem. Something else was happening. I was building an interior place within myself where I could rest. You know, during that time when you're just, you feel like you're just one doctor appointment from another doctor appointment, and something's being done to you, you're in some kind of treatment. But I could rest in the sacred place, the sacred container of haiku, and I could find comfort. And probably even more importantly, or as importantly, I could begin to hear that intuitive voice that I had just kind of ignored through the noise and the busyness of everyday living. I started to really listen and trust that when I couldn't trust my body. And I learned also that through poetry, I could express the full range of emotions, and that I could speak the unspeakable, both on paper and aloud, because I began to read these aloud and feel the power of the word on my tongue. And then I learned to be more fully present in my life and to experience more gratitude in each precious moment. And every moment became more precious. Even if I was in discomfort or whatever, I was so grateful to be above ground, as I would say. Today's a good day because I'm above ground. And I also found, again, I mean, obviously the writing and the reading and reciting of poetry was such a way of seeing and naming, like, where I had been in my life, where I was currently, and where I was going. And another thing, I mean, the list is so long, but I'm going to shorten it just to share that I learned that poetry really provided, again, going back to this intuitive guidance, because it revealed to me as I wrote, through the writing, what was revealed is what I didn't know I knew before I wrote the poem. So I found nuggets of wisdom in my own words, that it was all there. It just needed to be unfolded, you know, like they said about Michelangelo, that he just, that the statue of David was always there. All he did was just, like, chip away at it. And that's, like, how I felt with these, what I didn't know I knew. And I found those nuggets as I wrote. And I also learned just how connected we all are to one another, that we share so much in common in our human experience, and that we are also being guided by a higher consciousness. And so once I began rereading my haiku journals, I learned that writing does make your experience reviewable, and that was so helpful. Because once again, over time, you know, not when I was going through so much of it, but as I was reflecting, that over time I saw all these interwoven threads from this journey, and I began to see each of those challenges as only a chapter in a much larger story of my life, a much larger story than the chapter that was called cancer.
Mm. That is so beautiful. I would really love to invite you to share maybe your five most powerful haiku poems with me so that I can include them in the book. And I also would really love to include our interview and all of this great, great information in our award-winning magazine published. So we will have to talk about that, because I think what you have done for yourself and now to share with others is just absolutely incredible. So tell me a little bit about what life looks like now that you've come sort of the other side. That's kind of what I look at it. You know, it's like, you know, I think you have a book with your haiku poems.
I do. That's one of the things that happened. You know, this is so unimaginable that this horrible thing called cancer would actually bring so much back to me and bring me forward in my life. So in terms of some of the changes or things that have happened, I stopped. One of the things that happened is I stopped ignoring my intuitive guidance. I really started to tune in and listen. But then I did hear the voice again. And this time it said, you need to start an expressive writing group. And this idea was so far out of the box at the time that I heard this voice telling me that. I didn't have a clue how to begin. But all of a sudden, I started to really tap into that idea, and I said, well, all I know is that I just want to include dream work as part of this writing group process. So, as my work would have it, I had a sleep dream. And in that sleep dream, I received words, like a script, for a guided dream meditation, a waking dream meditation, that summons a person's inner muse and connects them to that energy. And then I was given instructions on, to use that experience of connecting with your inner muse, use the symbols and the images and the feelings that come up during the meditation as a writing prompt to begin each session. Well, that sounded really exciting, and I said to myself, okay, I'll do this for 4 weeks, and we'll just see what happens. Well, I'm still teaching this, facilitating this course today, and the results have been amazing. My expressive writing is thriving, and you wouldn't even believe what has happened with the members of the group. I mean, that's a whole other book and a whole other story.
Wow. But, that's incredible.
And then just lastly, in 2012, I heard the voice again, and this time it said, you need to write a book. You know, each time this voice keeps challenging me to live bigger and to live my purpose more. And it said, you need to write a book. And then the result of that book was my memoir, which includes the haiku poetry and even some photos of me and a narrative of what the journey was about, including the haiku poems. And the memoir is entitled Healing Haikus, A Poetic Prescription for Surviving Cancer.
Oh.
And it was published in November 2013.
Oh, that is so wonderful. Just so wonderful. I mean, just looking at what the other side looks like for you is so amazing. So amazing. So when you reflect now on your life today, what does that look like for you today? And what do you think is the greatest thing you experienced out of having had this relationship with cancer?
Well, because of my experience with cancer, I actually reclaimed parts of myself that had been lost. I was a very creative child. I did some acting as a young adult and in high school, but all these ones, and I painted, but all of these gifts just went away. I let them go because I was so professionally business oriented, and so what this experience gave me was the ability to reclaim those lost parts and to discover my passion and my purpose and even expand my horizons into so many directions and new directions that I would never have even imagined.
Wow. So beautiful. So beautiful, Marjorie. So what would you say if someone is, if you had an action item or a tip that you would give us today for someone who is facing this or other major challenges in their life, what would that be?
Oh, I have a couple of, so many tips. But I think one of the things that's really important is that the amount of information and decision-making that it happens almost immediately is staggering. So I really suggest that you bring a good friend or a family member to all your appointments. You know, someone that you could trust to take good notes and to act as a medical liaison or an advocate for you. To seek out the hospital special programs for exercise, stress reduction, other services that they offer both to the patient and to the caregiver, and get in touch with a hospital social worker. That person really understands the process, what you're going through, what waits ahead of you, and they can help you to navigate you know, the physical, mental, emotional issues that come up. I'd also suggest not limiting your research on the internet regarding your diagnosis. You know, just learn as much as you need to make an informed decision. And probably really important is remember that you are not a statistic. That by the time you read a statistic, it's outdated information. That every day progress is being made in treatment modalities to eradicate cancer, and it's happening daily. And we're getting closer and closer to eliminating this disease.
Oh, thank you so much for that beautiful vision and your wisdom and experience, and also for instilling this wonderful hope for others who may not be at the point that you are yet. So I can't tell you how much we've appreciated you being here and how valuable what you've had to share has been for me personally as well as for everyone listening.
Oh, thank you so much. And these suggestions, and I have more suggestions too, but these suggestions worked for me. And I just wanted to add just a couple more healing modalities that I use that worked for me. And that was
hypnosis.
Yeah, hypnosis, creative visualization, meridian tapping, which is also known as EFT, and Reiki, which is another healing modality. These are wonderful complementary healing modalities that were extremely valuable to me, as well as I just want to stress a positive attitude, that there is such a connection between the mind and the body. And words and thoughts really have the power to create positive feelings, to change behavior, and really promote healing. And even though when you're challenged, if you can find some humor every day, something to make you laugh, and just kind of you're moving those endorphins around, find something that makes you laugh, whether it's reading or telling a joke, watching an I Love Lucy episode, or wearing something silly or outrageous, something that would just create a giggle in your heart. And also, love is a very, very powerful force. And I would suggest remaining open to receiving it in all forms, recognize it in all forms around you, you know, from family, friends, caregivers, and the health professionals. So those are a few things I wanted to just also share, and walking outdoors and touching nature whenever possible. So those are things that really helped and worked for me. And the last thing is that even though these work for me, that everyone is so unique and that it's so important to listen to your own intuitive voice for making choices that meet your needs. And just remember that wherever you are on your healing journey, someone has been there before you and can really help light the way.
Oh, how beautiful. Oh, Marjorie. And you are just a light in everyone's life who you touch with your great contributions. And I'm sure that people may want to be able to connect with you and learn more from this tremendous experience that you've had. Is there a place where people can connect?
Yes. Dr. Marjorie at Journey of Your Dreams drmarjorie.com.
Fantastic. So it's drmarjorie@journeyofyourdreams.com, right? That's your email.
That's my email address, yes.
Fantastic.
And I do have a website also.
Okay.
And that's going to be, I'm going to be adding another website, but the current website is journeyofyourdreams.com.
Journeyofyourdreams.com. So everyone listening, if you would like to tap into more of this great contribution and vast information that Marjorie has, be sure to connect with her. And if you would like to learn more about Expert Insights, Family of Opportunity, our best-selling books, our award-winning magazines, communities, and global broadcasts, you can find us at getei.com. That's getei.com. Marjorie, thank you again. It has been such a delight.
The pleasure has been mine. Thank you, thank you.
And everyone have a wonderful week.